Welcome, everyone. How are you guys doing this evening? Good? All right. So tonight, we're going to discuss one of your favorite topics, pain and suffering. How many people have pain and suffering in their lives? Always a fun topic. But we're gonna learn some deep secrets about it. Something very interesting. So before we begin, let's also talk a little bit about what we spoke about last week. And also to start off with a consciousness that we've heard before, but to really reinforce it. It's always important to know that we live in a perfect spiritual ecosystem. Everything is perfect. We're not allowed to see that it's perfect, because if we saw the perfection, we would no longer have free will. Everyone would just always do the right thing. We need to have blind spots and have concealed from us why things are happening. Because even though we're learning in Kabbalah why things are happening, yes, we get it, but still the force of the opponent and the Satan, he blinds us. So even though we know what the right thing to do is, we still aren't motivated to do it all the time. Every single thing that happens to us or for us, even though it seems unfair and difficult to grasp why, it's all happening to move us towards a direction that ultimately will make us happy. And when we know why, then instead of fighting the process, we can embrace the process. Why does everything happen? It happens because the Creator knows, and the rules of the game are as such, that I cannot experience happiness unless I have built the vessel, the receptacle to hold it. Satan wants us to believe that happiness is grab whatever you can. Stick with the old vessel, the same old dinky vessel, and grab hordes of energy to shove in that old, dinky, smelly, dirty vessel. But spirituality is the opposite, that the light will come when a person creates the vessel for it. Satan doesn't want you to focus on your vessel, on transformation of who you are. Satan wants you to focus on just bringing energy into it. We've learned last week that through the reactive formula, that when the light comes, what's the first thing that happens when the light wants to be revealed? Do you remember? What's the first thing that happens? You will experience what? Before Satan. It's good. It's easy when we hear it, but it's harder when we have to regurgitate it. What's the first, when the light wants to be revealed, what will a person experience in their lives? A test, a challenge, something that makes them uncomfortable. At that moment, enters who? The force of Satan, the opponent. He wants the light. He sees lights about to be revealed. He wants to intercept it. He wants the light for himself. You have how many choices when a test occurs? How many choices do you have? Two choices. Choice number one, be proactive. We learned it in Kabbalah 1. What a pleasure, the whole thing. Step two, reactive. If you're going to be reactive, what does that look like? When a person is reactive, they actually feel, they receive the light. They feel good. The light actually enters a person who is reactive for a moment. Step two, the laws of bread of shame take over. The laws of bread of shame state, you cannot receive what you haven't earned. Remember we gave the example of the bread of shame bouncer, right? The bouncer who comes to regulate the flow of energy in and out of your soul. Step three, the curtain. The bread of shame bouncer puts a curtain on your soul. The light leaves you, and you're left with darkness and emptiness. And where does that light go? It goes to the Satan. We're going to learn more about that today, what happens when the light goes to the Satan. But in the process of being reactive, I haven't changed. It's just me going back to old patterns of comfort, of escapism, of taking whatever energy I can find so I don't feel pain. That is the pattern of humanity. I feel pain. I'm afraid. Fear is our biggest enemy. I'm afraid, so I'm going to hurt somebody. I'm afraid, I'm going to speak bad about somebody to make myself feel good. I'm afraid, I'm going to only take care of myself right now. I'm afraid I'm going to escape to an old relationship that is comfortable, that I know, that I understand. I'm afraid I'm in pain. I'm going to cause hurt to someone, because hurt people hurt people. When you're hurt, you want to hurt people. When you're happy, you want other people to be happy. But when you're hurt, you want to hurt people. So that vessel has got to change. So everything that happens to us, the Creator in his incredible mercy, it doesn't look like mercy sometimes, but in his mercy, he's like, listen, I know it's painful, but I got to shift you to be this person. I know you don't want to be it. I already know you're not going to choose to be it, because your patterns show that you're choosing opposite. I'm going to shift you in this direction. Everything in this world is to shift towards the direction of preparing you for happiness. And you have to believe, because the number one thing I've noticed speaking with people one-on-one, the biggest issue I've encountered in these personal meetings, learning about people's lives, learning about their belief systems, learning about their behaviors, learning about their patterns, people don't believe that they can be incredibly happy. They don't believe that there's a way, there's a system, unless they fight for it, unless they steal it, that they can be happy. Actually, most people have accepted that life sucks. Life sucks. It's got its ups and downs. And you try to get by and have some joy. That's the average belief system of talking to thousands of people. Do you believe that you can receive everything and you can enjoy your life? Do you really believe it at your core? It's important that you have to believe it. You have to believe not only that you can be happy, but that you should be happy. It's your birthright. It's the reason why you were created. And if you really believe it, then you'll get there. If you don't believe it, you'll only get to what you believe. Gabe. What if you can't believe it? Well, if you have a hard time believing it, there's some solutions for that. Number one, hang out with people who believe it. You will become whoever you hang out with. If you hang out with people with limited belief systems, you will adopt them. Through our spiritual osmosis, you will absorb the surrounding light, it's called, the essence of the people you are with. Who are your best friends? Is your best friend a victim? Always a victim, complaining. Is your best friend always looking at the negativity in life? Is your best friend always the type of person that's caught up in drama? Constant drama. Like everything they do becomes drama. Why? Because they believe in drama. They believe life needs to have drama. It's a little tiny subconscious deep in their brain. They won't admit it to you. But they believe that life isn't exciting without chaos. So they secretly, subconsciously, before they put their head in their pillow at night, say, God, oh please, I pray that tomorrow will have chaos. Now, of course, they'll never tell you that. Of course, I don't want chaos. Of course, I want things to be smooth and peaceful. You want to know what people want? Just look at their lives. Whatever they have, that's what they want. But she's single. She's telling me every day she wants to be married. We already spoke about this. No, she wants. What do you mean? Divorce? She wants divorce? What do you mean? He wants this? He wants that? I'm not saying he consciously wants. Deep in the subconscious, where the tikkuns exist, they're in control. And the tikkuns love the chaos. So through Kabbalah, we're learning more about ourselves. We're peeling away the layers and we're going to the main control room where all the buttons are being pressed and the levers are being pulled and the computer system is going crazy. We're rewiring ourselves to having real belief systems the way the Creator designed them. Happiness, joy, unlimited love. Everything the Creator has, you should have too. Doesn't matter what. Even those things that seem, oh, it's impossible. This guy only has one leg. You're trying to tell me now he's going to have a leg? The truth is, the answer to that is even yes, without getting into the details of it. Whatever is your limitation that you think is impossible, the Creator wants you to have its fulfillment. And he's already prepared it for you, in fact. It's not going to come out of thin air. It's waiting, and we have to maneuver spiritually to accept it, to receive it. All right? So we're going to do a workshop now, leading into our next lesson. We're going to learn about pain. We're going to learn about what pain does. What is the purpose of pain? How to avoid pain. What to do when you're going through a process of pain, big or small. We're going to learn about pre-pain. Before something happens that's difficult, you're going to get signs from the universe. Would you be interested to know what those signs are? Or no? In fact, I like to just go through it. Avoid the process? Why? So we'll learn about the signs. I want now in your groups, I want each person to first think and then share. What do you remember to be the most painful circumstance in your life? Ever. What comes to your mind when I say think of the most painful time in your life? Could have been a moment, could have been a time, it could have been when you were young, it could have been recent, could have been a divorce, could have been a death, could have been a rejection, could have been a loss of a business, it could have been anything. But for you, you remember that it was like dying almost. Like you felt like maybe even was unbearable. And if you can't think of something, think of a time that was just genuinely hard for you. All right? Now, we don't want to make it last too long. Each person, just 30 seconds, try to share what was this moment so that the table can understand what you went through without too much, we don't want to have too much of a story behind it, because we all have incredible stories, and we'll have time to share that maybe later or after class. But we want to hear now the Cliff Notes version of the most painful experience of your life. So please, with your permission, we'll give some time for you to share that. All right, everyone. So what I want you to do now, you're going to share something else in your groups. I want you to share, each person again, what was the valuable message from the Creator, this lesson that altered your vessel for the good that you received from this painful process. Now, keep in mind, also sometimes we pick up negative things. Because when you're going through a painful process, and we're going to speak about it, without the consciousness of what we're learning about embracing the process and how to view pain, because there's so much light up for grabs when we're going through pain, there's so much light, sparks of light that are available, the opponent wants us to be very reactive when we're going through pain. The opponent wants us to be sad. The opponent wants us to be judgmental. The opponent wants us to have despair. The opponent wants us to be stuck in grief. The opponent wants us to be self-centered, to protect ourselves. The opponent wants relationships to end. The opponent wants you to turn on your friends. The opponent wants you to start looking at other people's success and wondering why you don't have it. The opponent is very crafty in times of pain, and oftentimes, pain can take a person a little bit to the dark side. But almost always, there will be a light that's revealed, a lesson that is revealed. What for you was the positive experience you received, lesson you learned, vessel that was changed through that painful experience you went through? Please share that. If everyone can stop for a moment, I'm going to let you finish. I want to share one thing. I realize it's better to share this lesson now than later. One of the ways to avoid going through pain, if you have to go through something, it says that the Creator will send you someone else who is either going through it or who has gone through it. And if you can feel what they feel and learn what they've learned, you have now skipped your entire process. But often what happens, we hear people in pain and be like, ah, yes, their issue. That's not going to happen to me. When you start, if you ever feel judgmental or you can't handle hearing it or it makes you uncomfortable, it's a sign that the Creator has sent you this person so that you can connect and to feel so you can bypass the process. So you aren't just sharing this with your table just because it's nice to, you know, open your hearts. It's actually an opportunity to try to feel each person. And it's not always easy because you might be so different from the other person at the table, or your ego might tell you that's never going to happen to you, or they're weak, that's why they went through it, or they have addiction, that's why they went through it, or they're this. Not true, by the way. The Creator sent that person to you because of the propensity that you will go through it. It means actually it's in your movie. It's coming up. Take the time to connect, to derive the lesson from your classmates, and you will have sped up your process immensely and avoided pain. So please, continue with your stories. All right, everyone, come on forward. So let's look at the screen real quick. Wrote a couple points about pain. Number one, because we came to this world to remove bread of shame, there always has to be a little friction. That's why we have gravity. Gravity is pulling, we're always going against something. So discomfort is not something that can be avoided. We came to fulfill a correction. But our choice in life is a momentary discomfort versus long-term suffering. Momentary discomfort is in the first hour of your day, you do your difficult tasks first. You know what you need to do. And then what happens is you enjoy the rest of the day and you feel alive, you feel motivated, you feel strong, you feel certain. Long-term suffering is you dilly-daddle all morning, do whatever you want, be in your comfort zone, feel lazy, whatever, and then the pressure of the day starts choking you and you feel behind, you didn't get anything done, you feel bad about yourself, then you start to feed that lack with more instant gratification and a perpetual cycle of feeling like you're not productive. And not to mention, you're not going to be successful that way. You're not going to be respected that way. You're not going to attract the right people that way, which perpetuates more long-term suffering. Satan always wants us to choose instant relief. That's his game. That's his currency. Always instant relief. I want you to have it, Satan says. Number two, by seeking transformation of my tikkun, I avoid pain, long-term suffering. I avoid it. Can't stress this enough, guys. Biggest thing I've seen, when things are good. There's no tikkun, there's no Kabbalah, there's no nothing. Riding the wave. Going on vacation, enjoying myself, enjoying the food and the sun. Not a care in the world. Not a care. And it's a trap. I didn't say don't enjoy. Remember, we said the whole point is to enjoy life. However, at the forefront of our minds, we need to always be looking inside. We need to be ready. If you want true joy, the number one thing is, where is my ego hiding? Where is my pride right now? Someone's talking to me and I'm checked out thinking about something else. Stop. This is a moment of correction.
I don't care what they're saying. No, you can't not care what they're saying. The Creator doesn't send anything to you for no reason. And in the morning, you ask the Creator, send me a message, send me someone, send me a business deal, send me. So the Creator sends you someone, but you don't like the package. You don't like the way they're coming to you. You don't like the voice or the tone, so you ignore them. So we're not really open to messages then. But if my desire, I'm trying to, every time I wake up in the morning, first thing I do is first 10 minutes of my day must be spiritual. It must. If I'm going to the email, if I'm going to this, I'm doomed. First 10 minutes, set my intention for the day. I want to be with the light. What does the light want from me? What are some of the things that are going to trip me up today? What is Satan going to do to me today? Bless you. What are things that are going to happen that are going to trick me? You know what? This is my blind spot. You know what? Yesterday, I really messed up on this. I'm going to watch for that. Okay, I can't wait when that happens. You'll be ready. When it's just like, yeah, let's see what happens. Yeah, you think Satan is, yeah, let's see what happens. Satan is sharpening his knife all night long for you. He doesn't sleep. You're sleeping. He's sitting there devising plans, maps, writing it out. He knows exactly who to send to you, when to send, and how to send it. Yesterday, I spoke to someone in a class, and he raised his hand, and he shared, you know, what I don't like is people always come to me when I'm in a bad mood. It would be so much easier if they came when it was a good mood. I said, well, would you like a massage, too, and have them bring in some donuts before they speak with you? And it'll be very nice. The point is that Satan knows exactly tomorrow at 10:20 a.m., based on the fact that last lifetime, on October 26th, whatever it was, at that moment, your soul had failed the test, was in a bad mood, and you screamed at your wife, past lifetime. So tomorrow, 10:20 a.m., that same test has to reoccur. Satan knows it, and he's ready, he's waiting. You're coming in all casual, life's good, no problem in the world. Whoa! Darts, bullets, right between the eyes. What's going on? You're already getting reactive. Failed the test again. He's sharpening his knife. The promise is, as long as we make the effort, the light will always be on our side, and we'll always win. Satan can never be more powerful than the light. We just have to choose the light. Point three. It's my favorite. Pain, and this might be new for you. Pain has an intelligence. Pain has a mission. I'll show you a demonstration right here. We have here a bowl. Everyone see the bowl? What does the bowl say? Soul. Very good. That's my soul. We have another bowl here, filled with ping pong balls. The ping pong balls represent the light of the Creator. Sparks of light demonstrated by the ping pong balls. Here we go. This is God. This is? Soul. We've learned that when the light wants to be revealed, we experience a test. Now, if I fail the test, this light, does it enter my soul? Yes or no, if I fail the test? Yes or no? How many people think no? Raise your hand. How many people say yes? Raise your hand. The answer is yes. Remember, we learned it. When I'm reactive, do I feel the light? Yes or no? Yes. For a second. And it tastes so good. So good. Remember that text message you send reactively? No. Oof, felt so good. The moment you hit send, felt so good. And then you're rereading it and you're like, and you just waste like 3 hours of your time after that. The moment of reactive behavior is delicious because the light does enter. And it enters so good, so hard, so fast, so nice. Oh, what just happened here? Yeah, it went in, up for a moment. And then... Alex, will you do the pleasure? Just me? All right, you remember Alex? I just wanted you to have a visual in your mind. Alex will come. Aww. The soul is dark now. But where did the light go? It went in and it went out. And we said it went to Satan, right? So this is what happens. Satan has an army of soldiers. Call them parasites, if you will. The term in Kabbalah is klipot. And I'm giving you that in case you're learning deeper Kabbalah. You need to know what the terminology is. Klipot. K-L-I-P-O-T. Klipot means shells or a shell. Okay? So what happens is when we lose that spark of light, it gets encapsulated in a shell. See that? See that shell? And then you get reactive again. Let's say you get angry again. Lose the spark, another shell. Let's say you get angry again. Lose the spark, another shell. And what these shells are doing, these shells are basically blocking the soul. They're basically between the body and the soul. Remember we talked about this? Sorry, the body and the soul. Okay? These are the lost sparks of light. You need these sparks of light. Everything you want in your life that you don't have are these sparks you lost this life and past. And there they are. They are. Now, what is Satan doing with these sparks? Two things. One, he's actually protecting those sparks from you. Because you're reactive. You don't deserve those sparks. So Satan actually keeps them safe for you. He keeps them hostage for you. It's weird. But he's actually, the system is set up to protect you. When the creator sees that you're abusing the light, he takes the light away. You think a bank's going to give you a loan after you just filed for bankruptcy? They gave you a loan. You abused it. Are they going to give you another loan? No. In fact, they're going to take what you have for safekeeping. They're going to take your stuff. Satan takes your light. But what it does is it makes Satan stronger in that area that you are reactive. So if it was anger that caused me to lose that light, all of these shells go and they make my anger stronger. And this is why people have real tough issues that have so many layers to them that they can't just change overnight. Tell a person, hey, just open your heart. Start trusting people again. And you know, you see it all the time. A person can be the best business person. Like when they're in business, they're like a magician. It's amazing. Bam, bam, doing this, making things happen, vision, see the future. And then when they're in a relationship, like, oh, I don't know what to do here. What's going on? Oh, I'm so afraid. Because in the relationships, they have so many shells of, let's say their tikkun is unable to trust, unable to be vulnerable, unable to open their heart, whatever, that every time they even get close to someone, they freeze, they shut down, they get scared, they become reactive, they put their foot in their mouth, they run away, they subconsciously sabotage the relationship. Has anyone ever sabotaged the relationship ever? Never. Especially this table hasn't. Right? Never. No, whoever sabotages relationships, people always just look forward to them and want to live a life happy with another individual as one unified soul forever. Some people are so used to reactive energy that when they do get into a relationship, they say, wait a minute, this is stable. This isn't the highs and the lows that I'm used to. There's none of this. I like that. And now marriage or this relationship, just very nice. It's just, it's a lot of golf balls. It's very nice, but it's all, I'm not used to that. I like a little action. But the problem with a little action is that you have a price you pay with a little action. So now you got these shells. And these shells are all around our soul, blocking the light and keeping hostage the light. And you have two options in life. By the way, each person that comes to you in your life is to help you remove the shell. Every time you feel uncomfortable, it's someone just saying, hey, you got a shell in this area. Hey, you got a shell in this area. Now you have two options. Option one, the test comes, you pass the test. It doesn't feel good. Restriction doesn't feel good. Pause doesn't feel good in the moment. But what it does do Is it very, watch very carefully, very delicately removes the shell, removes the curtain, puts the light, nice, and life gets good. All of a sudden, nice business ideas come up and you build a nice foundation for something that you really love. It's very nice. You pass another test. Oh, very nice. Wasn't comfortable initially to pass the test. I agree. You wanted to really give it to them, but you decided, no, I'm going to be humble. I'm going to receive the criticism. I'm going to try to find what's the message in this criticism. I'm boiling. I can't believe my subordinate is telling me what I need. No, pause. What a pleasure. I love it. Maybe there's a message. Maybe he is right. Maybe I am arrogant. Let's just beautifully take another one. You know, maybe this one goes into your son, your 12-year-old son, so that when he's walking to school and he has the light, if there's protection around him, who knows? It goes to your children, it protects your children, it protects your surroundings, it protects your money. You don't know what it does. Now, what happens if you're not interested in delicately removing the cup, the shell, and taking the spark? What happens when when a person is very stubborn or not spiritual or not passing his tests? What's really happening is he's accumulating more what? Every day, what happens? He accumulates more what?
Parasites.
More parasites, more shells. Now, is the Creator merciful? Yes or no? Well, we know the Creator is merciful. So there's a system in place that when you have too many shells, when the individual has too many shells, what happens is he becomes so dark and so negative, even if he doesn't realize it, he begins to lose his free will. That's what addiction is. Addiction is you lose your free will. Some people are so, you meet them, they won't change. It's like they almost lost free will. So there's a mechanism called pain that is sent by the universe as a default for someone who doesn't want to change the fun way, the proactive way. What does pain do? See, what do we call this? This is a hammer. A hammer. Now, I'm not going to use the hammer because it's going to create a mess. But, and I'm going to remove the ball just for a moment, just so it doesn't fly away. But the hammer comes, and it really just breaks the shell, you know? You know, if I had to just use my hand for a moment, it just takes a moment, it just shatters the shell. And what happens is this amazing spark of light flies out and goes to the soul. Every time you're going through a painful time, you're breaking shells. And that's why we say, Kabbalah 1, Class 1, what a pleasure. What is the pleasure? The pleasure is spark of light. All right, I'll take it. Oh, pain. Oh, I hate it. Oh, my God. Oh, great. What another spark of light. There it is. There it is. Food poisoning. Remember the food poisoning example? 3 hours of suffering. What a pleasure. Every moment of food poisoning, what is it doing? It's elevating a spark. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean you can go give yourself food poisoning to reveal light. The Kabbalists speak about this, and you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to inflict pain upon yourself to fulfill this concept. This is only if you're doing your best and pain comes to you, but you're doing your best. When the negativity of a person becomes too much, a painful situation is set into motion, and the painful situation cannot leave until it finishes its job. But what you can do is you can speed up the process. All right, so let's look at the next point. How do you speed up the process of pain? Do you want to share? No? Is there something you want to share with us? Here.
Okay, I'm Nila. The example is so hard to me because I just say my table that sometimes when you are a child you are beaten a lot, you don't deserve. I think one child don't deserve to be beaten, okay? I I'm sorry. That's my pain, okay? My father and my beaten a lot of my mother, so I try it all the time to help her. But I'm beaten also because of that. So I don't know if a child needs to learn about their life and to have to experience that pain. I don't know why. I mean, now I understand my father and I forgive her. Also, I forgive my mother because I don't know why she permit that all the time. I ask her to many times divorced and they don't want it, so I have to leave my house. I don't have a home, you know? I never feel at home. So for me, that example is so hard because I don't, maybe today I deserve to be beaten, but not when you are a child.
How old were you?
33.
How old were you when you went through this?
I went out when I was 19.
How old were you in, from what, during what ages did you go through this?
5 years, I remember 5 years to 19 years.
5 years to 19. Okay, so I think first, anyone in this class or in the world who hears your story, I think that already you've helped them. And it's hard to say why, as a child, you would go through that. And it's not for me now to give possible reasons why. And, you know, to discuss even that. But what I can tell you is sometimes when people go through very painful situations like that, and I've heard many stories like this, sometimes one of the reasons that a person is put in that position is because it means that their soul is meant now to help many, 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 many other souls who went through something similar. And sometimes those souls come to volunteer for that specific job. And there's no way, like, for example, I, who did not experience this, I cannot help. I mean, I can share, I feel like a fraud almost just saying, but I'm not going to be able to help you in the way that you would be able to help countless people. The statistics are dizzying of how many people have gone through what you've gone through. But it does start. For anyone who's gone through that kind of trauma young, it does start by realizing that oftentimes it's because their soul and the Creator made a pact to help people who have been on the victim end of that in this world, who don't know. You're someone who's gone through it, but you also are receiving now tools, wisdom. But there are millions of people who will not even come close to anything that will even be remotely able to help them. Again, this is not to take away your pain, but it's a starting point. You need to know that you must help people. You must. And if you don't, you won't be able to truly forgive everyone, including yourself. You will only feel at peace after you've done your correction, which is to help that many people. Now, we don't know what happened past life. We don't know who you were past life. We don't know what you did past life. But what we know for sure, what the light wants you to do now is that. And the pain you're feeling is the power you will have to help people. And I think it's important for all of us who hear it you know, maybe not now, but later, to take time and not just say, well, that's not my life, but to actually try to even think for a moment what would be a fraction of what that feels like. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you. Thank you. Speeding up the process. We can speed up the process of pain by embracing the process and injecting joy, something we've spoken about in Kabbalah. Satan wants your light, so when you're going through pain, he's going to try to take that light from you. Two, sharing and caring during painful times. When you're in pain, all you're going to want to do is to nurse your wounds and take care of yourself. Try to find acts of sharing beyond your comfort zone and to care about somebody else. Oftentimes, the only way to heal pain that you have, like we just spoke about, is to help someone else with the same pain. Three, it's important, not just every day, but every moment you have, to ask the Creator to reveal to you the spiritual lesson of why. Nila, it will be important for Nila to ask every day to ask why. What I shared, that's part of it. But for you in your unique situation, to ask, why did I go through that? What's the message? Show me, guide me, so I can not just leave the world feeling bad or dark, but I want to transform darkness to light. Very important that we're always asking the Creator. The one who asks will be told. Finally, we all need to know with certainty, and this takes time also, this, you have to develop it. Know with certainty that the outcome will be good. And better than even before. In fact, it says you will get to a place that you're happy it happened. That's how you know you've finished the process. When you look back at the painful situation, and you don't say, oh, I wish it never happened. And this is a hard one, especially when it comes to death and abuse and trauma like we just heard. But it says, the Kabbalists share it, that you will reach a level of the soul where you'll see everything. You actually even see past lives. And it will all make sense to you. And you'll see why your soul chose that pathway and why it was necessary. This is a very high level, but a level that exists. Any questions about this? The microphone? Gabe.
I was wondering if you could explain number two a little bit, just in terms of what we talked last week. What's the difference between seeking transformation of a tikkun or not being reactive?
Because yes, not being reactive is when the challenge comes to you. Seeking transformation, probably we haven't spoken about it much, but it's how badly do you want to make a change? You have to want it. Don't just wait for things to come to you. You have to want to know. That's why, remember we did an exercise of proactively finding what to change? What was that exercise we did? Do you remember? You called your friend, remember? Called your friend and you asked them. Great exercise. Asking people, hey, listen, my life's great right now and I feel I'm riding high and I know that could be a trick of the opponent. Do you think, what do you feel I need to change? Seek it out. Okay? All right. Yes, please.
My name is Nancy.
Nancy.
And the question I have is, I had spoken to Eliyahu about it a little bit, about the idea of sometimes I don't want to say, pause, what a pleasure, when it's something that I feel like it's really just wrong. Like, I feel like it's super, what is that called, the word, abusive? And I grew up in, and I've had experiences where they've been very abusive, and in different kind of ways. And so I kind of feel like being open to that, being attracted to me, I've worked so hard to not attract those experiences. Right. So I feel like I'm actually in a good place where I'm not attracting those things as I used to. And so I feel like that's one of the things that blocks me from saying pause, what a pleasure, is like, I don't want that abuse ever come again in my life.
Well, why is saying what a pleasure mean you're going to attract more abuse?
Because I feel like I'm telling the universe that I like being treated in that bad way that person's treating me.
Okay, good point. So we think that if we say, wow, this is great, that's really us telling the universe, give me more of that. You cannot get challenges that you weren't already meant to get. By you saying pause, what a pleasure, you are not increasing the amount of pain you're going to have in your life. All you're doing is sweetening and transforming any judgment or negativity you're experiencing now. Very important. You cannot receive more negativity than you're already destined to receive. That's already written for you. The only way to increase the negativity is by doing something negative. In fact, by not saying pause, what a pleasure, and saying, oh, this sucks, you actually create more situations. That's why pause, what a pleasure is so important, because you want to make sure you don't create more negativity by complaining about it. Great question. Yes? Share your name.
My name is Parmes, and the question that I've been thinking about is that does your soul know whatever is experiencing? Because, for example, let's say that you're 16 years old and you're experiencing something horrible. You have no knowledge about it. Of course you're going to be reactive. Of course you're going to do whatever you think that you have to do out of being not knowledgeable about it or not knowing what to do in the right way. But you still get treated the same way. You still lose the light. It's just like black and white.
The answer is your soul does know. In fact, your soul knows everything. Your soul knows what's about to happen tomorrow. Your soul sees the future. But we learned last week that the reason why we don't know, the body doesn't know, is because the body and the soul are separated by these negative forces, so they're not communicating with each other. Once you remove them, the body and soul will communicate. Everything in the world will be known to you immediately. You'll have divine inspiration, prophecy, you'll feel and see everything. Everything will be revealed to you. It's a very exciting place to be. And you'll get there more and more as you start changing more and more. Remove the curtains, remove the blockages. Slowly, the body and the soul talk to each other. Great question. All right, pre-pain, reading the signs, how to avoid pain. We'll do this quickly. Number one, you start to feel something's not right. There is judgment in the air. We're gonna learn more about astrology, but certain astrological signs are very sensitive to something's about to go wrong. Raise your hand if you're one of those people that you know something is about to go down, right? You feel it. You feel the judgment. Right? Water signs very much can feel when either people are judging them or the universe is judging them. When there's judgment in the air, the lesson is lower yourself. It says when the Satan is out in the world executing his judgments, you should not be in the marketplace. Meaning it's not a time to be just going skydiving and doing really outlandish, risky things and putting yourself out there. When you put yourself out there, you attract evil eye. And the last thing you need is to attract evil eye in a time of judgment. Put yourself out there in the times of mercy. And over time, each one of us will start to feel when my soul is being judged and when my soul is in a time of mercy. Another way you know you're in a time of judgment and pain might come is many green lights turn red. Many things that were very easy for you and flowing and going great, all of a sudden, nothing's working. The faucet is turned off. The supply is cut off. It's a time now to take a step back and say, okay, I get it. I get it. Before the pain comes, what can I change? I need to change something in my consciousness, change something about myself. The Creator is trying to send me a message. Number three, this is a good one. People around you start sharing their disapproval of you with you. Commenting on how you need to change. Raise your hand if this has ever happened to you. This is the best. This is the best. There's nothing better than this. What's better? Do you really want to know what happens after that? Wouldn't you, before any major painful situation, wouldn't you just love if somebody just came up to you and plainly told you, hey, you're a jerk. You are full of yourself and you're into yourself.
Or you're so depressed all the time. Just get, come on, why are you so depressed all the time? You don't get it. No, no, don't say you don't get it. Say, okay, wait a minute, there's a message. Maybe let me try to get out of it. Let me try to share. Let me just think positively for a moment. Just don't be defensive. Just think positively. Ask the light for help and make a movement. People are our first line of defense against chaos. The Creator will always send people. Or you'll hear it in a class. Or you'll hear it in a lecture somewhere else. Or you'll hear it on TV. You'll get a message. Be very careful. Listen carefully. Has that ever happened? You're hearing a class. You're like, wow, that's a message for me. I need to do that. That's actually the Creator telling you, yes, do that now. Because in 3-4 days, there's a painful situation, intelligence going to take over to help you. 4, things are too good and you feel invincible. Nothing can stop me now. I know how to do it. I know. Look at the results I've had. I am the knower. I know all. Come to me if you want to know. Be very careful. When you start thinking you are hot stuff, step back. That's usually a sign that you're being fattened for the push off the cliff. Again, I'm not saying beat yourself up. Find the balance. Take a step back. Say, 1 second, yes, I feel blessed. A lot of amazing things are happening, but there's room to grow. There's more to do. The problem with feeling that everything is amazing, 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 it means your vessel is full and there's no more light that can come in. So something needs to break to open the vessel again. Five. This is a good one also. You start complaining about everything. That's right before the judgment. If you find yourself complaining about the stupidest things, realize that you have bread of shame. Realize you've received too much. When I'm working with someone and they start complaining a lot, I know I've given them too much. It seems like it would be the opposite, right? People complain because they believe what? They haven't received anything. Hey, give me. I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting my way. And you're annoyed by everybody. Annoyed by everybody on the road. Annoyed by people kissing in the corner. Annoyed by this guy doing goo goo gaga with his girlfriend. Annoyed. That's a sign that you're about to go through judgment. Wow, I'm being judgmental. I'm not actually being like the light. I'm not actually sharing anything with anyone. I'm just into myself and how I can receive. Is that God? Is that being like God? And what happens is, usually people who don't appreciate, you know, it might not be a practical example, but it's one I've experienced many times. It could be a wife, it could be a husband, it could be a partner, it doesn't matter. Your partner, let's say in this case, the husband is not appreciating his partner, his wife. And he just lives life. He's like, what are you complaining about? Just doing his own thing. Finally, she says, I experienced this once recently. Finally, she says, I'm leaving. What? Yeah, I'm leaving. Taking half your money. Taking the kids. Taking the house. I'm going to make your life miserable. What? 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 Balls in the air. Balls in the air. All of a sudden, all of this man's negativity, his ego, his invincibility, his comfort zone, all of it smashed in a moment. And this man calls me up. What do I do? What do I do? My world is shattered. How do I get her back? I said, why are you calling me now? Why didn't you call me last week? Why didn't you call me last week when your marriage was intact and say, what do I do? But nothing was wrong last week. What do you mean nothing was wrong? You mean when the doctor found the cancer, that day cancer came up? That day, all of a sudden, a golf ball tumor emerged the day he did the MRI scan. That day. The tumor was there many years before. You just did the scan today. Your wife left you 5 years ago. It just manifested today. But exactly, you needed pain. You actually told the universe, I will only change by pain. Do you have something you know you need to change? My question to you is, what would be the painful thing that would need to happen to make you change it? And whatever you can come up with, that's prophecy right there. That means it's written in the movie as a last resort. Again, I don't like fear tactics and scaring you. But I was told to share this concept because it's a powerful concept. It's a true concept. If the Creator will make sure that I change to receive everything, it means he has a default painful situation written as a last resort if I'm not going to do everything now to change. And by the way, that's what I personally love about relationships. Somebody asked me in Kabbalah 3 before, just a couple months ago, what's the point of being in a relationship? I mean, a committed long-term one. He's like, I'm enjoying myself. Why? He's like, almost every story I hear is people aren't happy in relationships, or it's not as good as when they were just dating. And you know what? He stumped me for a moment. I said, He's like, listen, I'm not saying, you know, go around, be a, you know. He's saying, look, dates for a couple of years maybe, whatever. I have different partners, but be committed, be loving. I'm not saying we'd be a bad guy. He had a point. And he's right in his world. But if your goal is to have everything, to have all the joy, all the love, to be one with the Creator, then a relationship is your best ticket there. Because a relationship isn't just someone who gives you what you want. A relationship is your first line of communication from God. Your partner is telling you what God is thinking every day. You may not like the tone of it. You may not like the package. You may not like the way it's being delivered. But you will learn. That's why relationships are so hard, because we don't like what God's telling us. We don't like what the Creator tells us, because it hurts the ego. But if a person takes a step back and says, what's the message? It really digs deep and it's painful. Will unlock the light. And it won't be with pain. It will just be someone said a couple words that bruised your ego. Relationships are valuable if you want to be everything you're meant to be. If you just want to have a good time, I'm not sure. I agree. It's a lot of work. It's hard. Might not be for everyone. But if you want it all, which I'm hoping we all awaken the desire to want everything in life, and to be the best versions of ourselves without the pain and suffering, then a relationship is a very powerful and beautiful and supportive process to get us there. And we're going to have classes devoted all to relationships very soon. Any final questions? Oh, whoa. I was going to send you guys home. All right, please. Let's get you the mic real quick.
I'm Jasmine. I was wondering, is it every time someone says something negative, like if they say, oh, you're selfish, but you don't really know them, is it true or is it coming from their own tikkun where they're like projecting?
Anytime something bothers me, it means is a message for me. And it doesn't mean you have to be their best friend or say, or even like, you know, bow down to them. You know, you just need to always check yourself when you're alone and say, all right, Creator, you sent me a random person. I don't even know. He said something. You didn't do it for no reason. What's the message? Always ask. Now, if it doesn't bother you, I personally still like to ask, what's the message? Because again, things don't happen for no reason. But especially if it bothers, it means there's a message. Great question, Jasmine. All right, one more question. Then we got to end the night.
I keep stepping all the klipot. All right, we got one? Great, Sarah.
Hi, guys.
Please share your name just for
Announce myself?
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah. I'm just curious if we're ever going to touch on suicide and where that fits in this whole process. And
yeah.
Is that in my mind?
It always comes up and we always discuss it. And so I will make a note that in the class that we discuss reincarnation and death and why death happens, how it happens, different reasons why it happens, that we can discuss suicide as well. Yes. And if you have other requests and desires of concepts you would like to know that I'll fit into the curriculum for you, just share it with your mentors and your mentors will let me know. All right, guys? Guys, thank you very much and we'll see you next week.